It's great to have my mother in the congregation. She's just flown in from Nairobi. Lovely to have her, and I hope she enjoys it tonight. I'd like you all to turn to Matthew chapter 16, which is on page 17. And we're going to read verses 24 to 28. And my text for tonight is Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. But we'll read these few verses. So Matthew 16, verses 24 to 28. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay every man for what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now we've called the sermon tonight The Cost of Membership, and it's the fifth sermon in a series on the church. And I want to start it by reading to you a challenge that a communist once threw out to a Christian. He said this. If you want to know where I got it from, it's from one of David Watson's books. I get a lot of my illustrations from David Watson. He said this: "The gospel is a much more powerful weapon for the renewal of society than is our Marxist philosophy. But all the same, it is we who will finally beat you. We communists do not play with words, we are realists, and seeing that we are determined to achieve our object, we know how to obtain the means. Of our salaries and wages, we keep only what is strictly necessary, and we give up our free time and part of our holidays. You, however, give only a little time and hardly any money for the spreading of the gospel of Christ. How can anyone believe in the supreme value of this gospel if you do not practice it, if you do not spread it, and if you sacrifice neither time nor money for it? We believe in our communist message, and we are ready to sacrifice everything, even our life. But you people are afraid to even soil your hands." Brother Andrew was once speaking of a time when he was sitting with another Christian in a bus in Saigon in Vietnam. And as they were journeying on the bus, they saw a man carrying a basket walk out in front of the bus. It was during a time of intensive fighting and constant Viet Cong guerrilla attacks. "Watch out," said the Christian. "In that basket there may well be a bomb." "Why are you so afraid?" asked Brother Andrew. "That man may be a Viet Cong who will throw himself and the basket under the bus," came the reply. "He doesn't mind if he dies. I do." And Brother Andrew commented on this incident that to him it summed up the ineffectiveness of so much of the church today. How many Christians are willing to lay down their lives for Jesus Christ? Now the text that we're going to look at tonight, Matthew 16, verse 24, is entirely relevant against that background. Because I don't think until we begin to take these words of Jesus seriously, I don't really think that we will see the situation in our own country or in our own land significantly changing. It's very exciting that many people, I was reading in the Church Times recently, many people are turning to Christ in our country. But until we begin to take these words seriously that Jesus says here, we can't expect the gospel to really spread. Now we have in verse 24 a clear statement of what's involved in being a follower of Jesus and of joining his people. It's a very challenging and searching statement that Jesus makes. And I think that if we put it into practice, I know that my own life would be transformed by it. Now this statement, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, is one of those statements that Jesus used on many occasions. It's a central truth, and he repeated it again and again. It comes in all the synoptic gospels. It occurs twice in Matthew, it occurs twice in Luke, and once in Mark. And it was once given by Jesus as a warning to those who were thinking of following him, but who hadn't counted the cost. And Jesus specifically warns people of the danger of that in Luke chapter 14. And he says, no one sits down who's going to build a tower and doesn't first count the cost of building the tower. Otherwise, you get this rather sad situation. You're journeying through the countryside and you see a half-finished tower. Now, the trouble is, the Christian landscape is filled with half-finished towers of people who started to follow Christ and then didn't count the cost. I remember speaking to somebody at Sussex University when I was a traveling secretary. I met her in the bar. We'd just shown a film strip in the bar. And she said to me after the film strip, she said, I tried Christianity and it didn't work. And when you meet people like that who try but who don't really count the cost, it's very difficult to speak to them about Christ. And the other thing I want to say, just in terms of introduction, is that Jesus nowhere or never promised that the Christian life would be easy. And these words in Matthew 16, 24, are a clear manifesto of what's involved in becoming a Christian and in following Christ. You know, somebody rang me up just 2 days ago. She said to me on the phone, Roger, I'm thinking of becoming a Christian. Now, I hadn't finished preparing this text, but I almost said to her, have you read Matthew 16, verse 24? Because if you want to follow Christ, then it means that you're going to have to live a life of self-denial. It will involve taking up your cross and following Jesus wherever he leads you. So it's going to be hard, and those of you who are Christians will know and probably agree with it. The Christian life is hard, and yet it's the most exhilarating life to live. There's no other life to live but one for Jesus Christ. So I find myself increasingly encouraging people to think through the cost of following Christ, the cost of membership, before suggesting to them that they follow Christ and join his church. Now, what is the cost? What is the cost of membership? Three statements, 3 points, 3 steps from verse 24. The first thing that a person must do if he's going to join the Christian family is he must deny himself. Look again at verse 24. Jesus says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? What's he getting at when he says that if you want to follow him or come after him, you must first deny yourself? Well, quite simply and directly, he means saying no to yourself and yes to Christ. That's what it means to deny yourself. You say no to yourself and you say yes to Jesus Christ. It means being able to say, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, I'd want to say that you cannot, the New Testament says this, you cannot live for yourself and for Jesus Christ. You either live for yourself or you live for him. To use an illustration that I often give people when I'm talking to them, I often draw a circle, and in the circle I put a throne, and I say, you can either live on the throne, you can occupy the throne yourself, or Jesus Christ must occupy it. You can't both be on the throne. And Jesus says that if we'll live a life of self-denial, if we will deny ourselves, he promises us in verse 25 that we will find real life. Look at verse 25, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." In other words, he says, if you deny yourselves to live for me, you will find the real meaning of life. I can think of many people that I've met who don't believe this. They imagine that by hanging on to their own interests, they will be fulfilled. And they discover in the end that if you do that, it simply leads to deep disappointment. While those who deny themselves and live for Christ find life and life in all its fullness. Now let me apply this to us. I went into the kitchen last night and I said to Moshi, how can I apply this to the congregation tomorrow night? I was sort of battling with it. And she said, well, you could talk about denying yourself in terms of clothes. And I thought, that doesn't really ring many bells with me. Obviously did for her. Or you could talk about denying yourself in terms of money. And then I remembered a character who I'd been preaching on during the previous weeks. Always useful when you preach previous sermons because you can use little bits of them again. And his name was Demas. And Paul says about Demas in his second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:10, that Demas had fallen in love with this present world and had deserted him. Demas had deserted Paul. Demas, who had begun so well, ended his Christian life as a deserter. Now why? Why did Demas do that? And it occurred to me that probably Demas had never really counted the cost. He might have been one of those disciples who got swept into the kingdom on a tide of emotion. And then as things got difficult, the unpopularity, the loneliness, perhaps even the imprisonment, he'd eventually given up and he deserted Christ. Or it may simply have been that he was approaching middle age, that as he'd grown older and wearier, he'd lost his first love for Christ. Beware of the peril of middle age. It's so easy in middle age to lose your love for Christ. Or it may have been that he loved a life of comfort and ease more than he loved Christ. In other words, he loved the easy way more than the hard way. Now, I want to say to you, because some of you are, in fact, if the survey is true, a lot of you are a lot younger than I am. I want to say, beware, as you get older, of settling down in the Christian life. I can say that now because I've reached the ripe old age of 30. It's very easy. I remember when I was a student here, and I used to despise Christians who lived a life of comfort and had colour TVs and cars, and I wasn't going to get into any of that. I still haven't got a colour TV. But I have found, as I've got a bit older, and a group of us went down to that very poor part of England, Godalming, the other 2 weeks ago, to do a mission. And the people in the parish that we were working in on this mission, most of them had two cars, most of them seemed to have colour TVs. They were a very affluent parish. And I thought to myself, gosh, how difficult it would be to live a life for Christ in that sort of situation. It's not impossible, but it's very difficult. Because it's very easy, as you go on in your relationship with Christ, to lose the first love that you had for him. So beware of the middle-aged spread of comfortable Christianity. Or to put it another way, beware of a Christian faith that costs you very little. Because if it doesn't cost you very much, it's probably not worth very much. And I find Demas stands out to me as a great warning to someone who began well it seems, from verses in the New Testament, but ended as a deserter. So beware of that. And if you call yourself a Christian, then be ready to live a life of self-denial. Because your love for Christ will wane and pall if you do not deny yourself. Following Christ means denying yourselves. So that's the first thing. If we're going to join the church and take up membership in the church, we must live a life of self-denial. We must deny ourselves. And I would just say, it's a jolly good time in Lent to ask yourself some serious questions about the way you live, the way you spend your money. And to ask yourself some questions like, am I actually denying myself anything in my commitment to Jesus Christ? So many of us here are incredibly comfortable and well padded and well healed. We know very little of what it means to deny ourselves. And we talk glibly about following Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. The second thing that Jesus says here is that he must take up his cross. He says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Well, first of all, what he doesn't mean. He's not talking about some affliction that someone has to bear. Oh, that's his cross, as we often say. But rather, he's talking about the sacrifice that's involved in following him. Now, we don't hear very much about sacrifice today. We often make out that the Christian life is a life of never-ending joy and peace. Well, there is joy and there is peace, but it's a struggle. And if you miss out the element of sacrifice, you're not being true to the picture of the New Testament gives. So when Jesus talked of taking up your cross, he was using a very vivid picture. Because in Jesus' day, the Jews were very well versed with crucifixion. I mean, Judas the Galilean, when he'd led a revolt against the Romans, and they'd raided the armory in Sepphoris, the Romans burnt the town to the ground, and then they sold the wives into slavery, and the men who'd been involved in that insurrection, 2,000 of them were crucified, and they actually lined the streets with these crucified Jews. And if you walked down the street and you saw people literally taking up their cross, it was a very powerful picture. You knew that that person was about to die a very painful death. So when Jesus says that if you want to follow him, you've got to take up your cross, he couldn't have used a more vivid picture to get through to his listeners what's involved in following Jesus Christ. It's very vivid. He's saying, if you want to follow me, you've got to die. You've got to die to yourself. And it's got to be as definite as crucifixion. And crucifixion is painful. And so is dying to yourself. None of us want to die to ourselves. You've got to die to a life of ease and pleasure in your service of Christ and in your service of your fellow man. And that's sacrifice, that's sacrificial. Now it's interesting that Luke, when he records this statement in Luke 9:23, with a flash of insight, he adds one word. He says, let him take up his cross daily. And I think that's very interesting. Because it's a day-by-day sacrifice that Jesus looks for from us. It's not the great moments when we come forward at a meeting or stand up in a tent or something like that. It's the day-by-day sacrifice of ourselves, saying no to ourselves and yes to Christ. It's what it means to take up your cross daily. It means each day saying, as you wake up and as you go into work, if you've got it, saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to be on the throne today. I want to live for you and not for myself. Now let me be quite blunt with you. It's very easy in a church this size to come along week by week and to really enjoy the worship. And that's great, it's terrific. I mean, it's lovely to come and really praise God. And to meet people afterwards. I mean, there are some quite nice people here. And yet, you can do that. You can come along week by week and meet some nice people afterwards and have coffee with them, etc., and do absolutely nothing for Christ. So that you're not involved in any sacrificial way at all. You become literally pew fodder. You fill up the pews and you come week by week. And it's very easy in a church this size to be like that. Now let me give you some examples. Do you know how many people we can get? Do you know how many people there are here tonight? There are probably 1,000 people here tonight. There are probably another 1,000... Well, there weren't 1,000 here this morning because Andrew was preaching. It was a bad... There are about... I think about 800. Do you know how many people we can get out visiting round the parish? Have a guess. About 20, if we're lucky. 20 people from this vast congregation. Now, I know that there are many visitors here, and I know many of you have come to hear, not to hear me, but to hear the choir and St. John's Passion. But that's appalling, I think, that we can only get that amount of people from a congregation this side who are prepared to get out on a Wednesday night and go visiting. Do you know there are lonely people in this parish who never get visited? There are people dying, spiritually speaking, within a stone's throw of this place, and we're packed. And do you know how many come from the parish? Hardly anyone. A trickle. Do you know how many people we can get to help at a folk tea once a month on a Sunday afternoon who'll go out in the streets and invite people? Do you know some people get converted because they get invited in from the street because they've got nothing better to do on a Sunday afternoon than walk up and down Oxford Street? And some of them have been fished in here and they've been converted. Do you know how many people, Christians, we get who are prepared to go and fish for people like that? If we're lucky, 15. Do you know how many people from overseas come here on a Sunday morning? Literally hundreds, and in the Sunday evening too. Do you know how many people we can get to open their homes once a month to entertain overseas students, to give them a meal? Four couples in a congregation of 1,000. And my vision is for tens and tens of homes that will be reaching out and opening their doors. And it's hard work. You talk to people about running an open home. It's jolly difficult. You've got to go and visit people. You've got to draw them in. Or the clubhouse. The clubhouse needs more helpers. Or the old people's visiting. People who will sacrifice their time and their energy. Right, that's the second thing. We must take up our cross to follow Christ. And the third thing is we must follow Jesus. Are you okay? Is it all right? Do you need a doctor? Oh, some windows. Could you open? I've nearly finished, actually. I've only got about 3 minutes. Okay? Shall I carry on? Right, the third thing that Jesus says here is the first thing, we must deny ourselves. Secondly, we must take up our cross. And thirdly, he says, follow me. So it's not only denying yourself or living a life of sacrifice that's involved in joining the church, it's following Jesus. That means it's going where Jesus goes, It's obeying him. Now, do you know that the word follow is used 23 times in Matthew's Gospel? Jesus told the disciples to follow him. He said, if you follow me, I will make you into fishers of men. He told the rich young ruler to sell his possessions and come and follow me. And he said to Matthew himself, follow me. And I remember when I was very young playing a game called Follow My Leader. And you all used to get into a line. And whatever the leader did, you did. Even if it was ridiculous, you did it. We did some pretty ridiculous things. Now, joining the church, becoming a member of the church, is always a case of following our leader. And our leader is Jesus. That means, it means doing what he says. It means doing what he wants and going where he wants us to. So I want to ask you, just in conclusion, those three things. First of all, if we're going to join the church and become members of the church, then we've got to deny ourselves. Then secondly, we've got to take up our cross. And thirdly, we've got to follow Christ, wherever he leads us. And I simply finish with a question. Are you prepared to do this? Because this is the meaning of being a Christian. Let's pray that we will all have that kind of heart. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, these words are searching and they're tough. And we pray that you'll help us to deny ourselves and really give everything to following you, that we will take up our cross and follow you wherever you lead us. We ask this in your name. Amen.